Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Now, we have another great Kerry man on the show this morning. Mike O'Donnell is a professional court artist working in the criminal courts of justice and the forecourts. He has been in court for some very high-profile cases, but this week his objectivity was tested when former hurler DJ Carey was sentenced to 5.5 years for defrauding people by falsely claiming he had cancer and needed money for treatment. Mike O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam.
Lovely to have you on the show. Listen, before we get into the events of this week, tell me a bit about your work in the courts. How did it come about, Mike?
Oh, so it began in 2010 at the Eamon Lillis trial. And how it came about was I had been teaching and I had left that profession. And I was always the artist, so I was always looking for people to draw on live subjects. And I happened to be knocked down and was in my bed and listening to RT News, where they announced the opening of the CCJ. Mm. And there was a prohibition on videography of people leaving the courts. I guess people of an older generation maybe would remember people going in and out of courts, shackled. Mm. And are manacled, and that was banned. So people were brought underneath the building into the court rooms. And I remember listening to that and I said, gee, it sounds like an opportunity for my art. And I was speaking with the then retired judge, Hugh O'Flaherty, and he said, yeah, go for it, you know. So, yeah, I've been there ever since, really, with, you know, a few stints abroad and stuff. So that's how it came about. Right?
And you mentioned, obviously, Eamon Lillis there. You've worked on many high-profile cases, including Eamon Lillis. Tell me about them. Which ones stand out for you?
So I suppose the high-profile ones that would stand out would be Catherine Nevin. People might remember her. And Sharon Collins. Mm. And later, I suppose, the Aaron Brady Garda murder trial, and after that, Push God,
who killed beautiful Aisling Murphy.
Yeah, and then the Regency murder trial with Jerry Hutch and Co, who were on trial, and Conor McGregor not so long ago, and recently... I suppose the DJ Carey case would be the most prominent that would stand out in my head.
And we'll come back to it. I'm interested, though, like, where do you sit in court? Because your sketches are absolutely brilliant. What do you have with you? And explain a bit, Mike, your process of observing the person, capturing the atmosphere, depicting them fairly, no matter what they've done. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I thank you. So what I do is I go in and I sit as close as I can to the accused. Now, not all my work is based on the criminal side, because I work in the forecourts a lot as well. But the most advantageous position is always my preference. But recently I've been able to, with the cooperation of the judges and the really welcoming staff in the courts, I'm able to sit behind the accused, so I can see fairly much what they see. Mm-hmm. And so that gives a bird's eye view of everything that goes on. And it's like I'm sitting on a throne, because the privilege, you know, I don't wear that lightly. Mm. And I can see everything, and I'm within, you know, smelling distance of what's happening.
Yes. And incredible. Listen, your portrait of Jerry the Monk Hutch, you mentioned him earlier, it was up for sale at one point for a lot of money, Mike. He loved it.
Yeah. He did. those images that I had of him made up the exhibition in Listowel which has been mentioned already this morning by Paul. And he actually visited it as well. And people came from, I didn't expect too many people to attend, but it was mobbed. And, he invited me to his house to draw him. So I did that. And, you know, I tried to remain as impartial and dispassionate as ever. And, you know, my philosophy, if you like, is to embrace the art and let it take me. You know, I like jump on the horse and it takes me where it takes me, and I just enjoy the ride so much.
Really interesting. And on that, this week, of course, former hurler DJ Carey, he was sentenced to 5.5 years for defrauding people by falsely claiming he had cancer. He needed money for the treatment, he said. You were in that court. You were observing. You sketched him. But what were you thinking because of your own circumstances? What were you thinking at that moment?
Yeah, so I had treatment for cancer and chemo and so on. And I suppose, gave me, this is what I would describe it, kind of a high definition perspective on life. So I would describe it as being reborn. And, you know, I told, he probably killed me, but I told the surgeon it's the best thing that ever happened to me, you know. And I appreciate every moment and try and get the best out of it. So I don't see time as a kind of a, along the x-axis, I try and keep it along the y-axis, get the best out of it. But in this case, I felt I was drawing another artist who was, you know, stellar on the fields of play, but who had admittedly pretended to be who I was, you know, in my at my lowest moments, and thousands of other people around the country can identify with that. And there was a symmetry, but there was an asymmetry as well. And so it took me a while to kind of let go of the, I suppose, the emotional impact that that would have on anybody, and just get stuck into the work.
Understandable. And I think, isn't this true, Mike, that the victim impact statements in that case, they hit you hard?
Yeah, I was sitting right, if you like, there was a glass panel between me and Mr. Carey. And immediately in front of me, if I put up my leg, I'd have touched the witness. There was one witness, I think, who came up and read out a witness impact statement, and others are read out by the court. It was very touching. Like, I was like, saw it as the art, I think, first. I was immersed in it, and I could feel for them, because, you know, I think most people who've gone through what I've gone through are a lot worse than me, rely on the goodwill of the doctors and the nurses and the family and friends. I remember arriving home, where I am right now in Kerry, and there was a bunch of flowers at my door. I don't think I'd ever got a bunch of flowers before. And it just elevated my sense of, you know, being present. It was from my local alma mater here at the Green School. I was just so taken by, you know, stuff as simple as that, you know, so.
Because it really does bring out the best in people. Do you ever think that? I always think most people in the world are really good, Mike, but you really see it when you're sick or you're down.
Oh, you do. I certainly do. And it's small things. You know, a lady came with food. A cousin came with buns to build me up afterwards, you know. Stuff like that is like, there was a doctor who came with a bag of oranges. Because I love oranges, and, you know, even tiny little things like that, even a smile, or somebody say, "How are you?" You know, and I mean, it's not to be, little acts of kindness are not to be kind of, on the impact is not to be understated. So When I see the abuse of this beautiful humanity, it hurts me.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the context of drawing, you have to be absolutely professional. I remember that. And then the drawing happens fluidly, and you become, you know, you can kind of rely on it, and it takes you into the view. And you know, even the terrible things that happen, there's beauty in everybody.
Like, I agree
that's
with that.
That's even in old age and the battered face in the, you know, and a face and a whole body is a map of the past to me. You know,
so, and you do it so well, Mike. And actually, I'd love our listeners, they should go onto your Instagram, which is Miko, M-I-K-O Donald. There's no E on your name on that, on the mic. But you're absolutely so talented. Court artist, Miko Donald, thank you so much for being my guest today.